Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's Tuesday, a beautiful sunshiny day here in Chicago. Thank God for that. And I'm back from Seneca Falls, New York, with a great conference, being in the presence of God's saints and laughing with them and crying with them. I tell you, it's very refreshing to be in their presence and find out what's been going on in their lives. It was a great time. Hopefully we'll get to see you, the listener. If I've never met you, I hope to be able to meet you someday soon at one of these conferences. Or hey, start one of your own. I'd be happy to come out. I am available for you to come out and to learn from you, and I'm sure you might learn from me too, but it's great for mutual comfort, and those are great opportunities to do that. Well, I kind of come to you with a heavy heart today. I got word that just this morning that a very close friend of the family passed away late last night. Close friend of my parents, practically family. And death is a tough thing to deal with. I hate death. I hate funerals. I never glamorize death. As you know on this program, I think it's God's arch enemy that one day God will conquer completely through through Jesus Christ. And so pray for the family as they face a very tough time this week. And we know, those of us listening, we know the expectation before us that God is going to save all men through Jesus Christ. All will be saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the best news ever. Well, today we're continuing our series on love. It's Love Week Part 2, and we are in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Yesterday we talked about the occurrences of in love in Ephesians. Not just the word love, but the phrase in love. And we talked about the first and last reference in Ephesians 1:4 and Ephesians 5:2. Well, today we're going to talk about the reference found in Ephesians 3:17, and today we're really going to be looking at the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 3. You know, one of the things that we should always do in Paul's letters is when Paul prays, those should be our prayers. We should actually pray what Paul prays, and especially this prayer here. Now, there are two prayers in Ephesians. There's one in Ephesians 1, and there's one in Ephesians 3. And in Ephesians 1, if you just read it, Ephesians 1:15 at the end of the chapter, the focus is on the Christ who has been ascended far above all the heavens to the right hand. It focuses on Christ in his exaltation to glory in the highest place in the universe, where and it focuses our attention upwards. But in Ephesians 3, this prayer is the opposite view. It takes the Christ, the one who's in the highest place in the universe, it takes him and brings him down into our hearts. It's a different thrust of the two prayers. As a matter of fact, you can probably chart out the two prayers and see how parallel they are to each other, but they're in the different in different directions. The first prayer goes up to the glory, to the right hand, and this prayer in Ephesians 3 takes the one who is the supreme of the universe, our Lord Jesus, and brings him down into our individual hearts. Now, Paul says this in Ephesians 3, verse 14. In Ephesians 3:14, Paul says, "On this behalf I am bowing my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's another distinction. In Ephesians 1, it's the prayer is to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it's to the Father. We're in a family atmosphere here in Ephesians 3. Notice how Paul says he's bowing his knees. Paul had just been proclaiming the teaching concerning the secret of the Christ and the great secret concerning the body of Christ's role in the eons. And after learning this marvelous transcendent grace, Paul bows his knees to the Father. It's kind of like what David did in 2 Samuel in chapter 7. After Yahweh tells David all he's going to do with his seed, David just goes in and he sits before the Lord just in awe of Yahweh for all the goodness that Yahweh is doing to him. And that's what Paul is doing here. Sometimes prayer is just bowing and saying and just taking it all in, drinking in the grace of God. That's what Paul is doing here. So he prays. He's bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, after whom every kindred in the heavens and on earth is being named. Paul is taking in the whole family of God right here, every kindred in the heavens and on earth, whether it's those who are going to be dwelling on the earth in the future or those among the celestials. Remember, God has a great family, and within that family, he's assigned roles to certain family members. And if you're a believer in Paul's evangel today, you are a part of God's family, but you have a role that's greater than any other people in God's family. Think of that. Now, here's the prayer, that he may be giving you in accord with the riches of his glory, to be made staunch with power through his Spirit in the man within. Notice the language that's being used here, that he may have made staunch with power through his Spirit in the man within, Christ to dwell in your hearts through the faith. The faith. Notice it says Christ to dwell in your hearts. You know, there's an evangelistic saying today, ask Jesus into your heart or ask Christ into your heart. You know, that's not a message to unsaved people. Never ask an unsaved person to ask Jesus in their hearts. That's not the message. That's not the gospel at all. That's not the evangel of grace, asking God or Jesus in your hearts. Christ dwelling in the heart is a message for the mature. It's a message for the believer. And this is a prayer of Paul, that Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell means to be at home at. You know, when if you were to invite me over to your house, and go ahead, try it, invite me over. And if you tell me to make myself at home, I might take you up on it. If you tell me to make myself at home, I might take my shoes off, put my feet up. I might even rearrange the furniture to my liking. Now, you probably wouldn't like that very much. I wouldn't go that far, obviously. But when we're saying, what Paul is saying here is that he's asking that Christ to dwell in our hearts through the faith, through the teaching. In other words, the more we embrace the grace of God, especially as has been laid out here in the Ephesian letter, Paul is asking, he's praying that Christ will dwell in your hearts through that message, through the faith. In other words, Christ will come into you and he will move the furniture around. He will make himself at home in you. Isn't it a great prayer? Now, sometimes it might not be too comfortable, the things he rearranges in our lives. But that's why Paul prays that we may be made staunch with power through his Spirit in the man within. Because for Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith, because it takes that kind of power. Because when we, in through this faith, through understanding the teachings of grace and Christ dwelling in our hearts, he may alter our lives pretty much. And it may be a little uncomfortable at times, maybe inconvenient. But that's why Paul's praying this would happen, that this message of grace would change our lives completely. So that Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, having been rooted and grounded in love. Here it is, rooted and grounded in love. Notice what this leads to. When Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, when he is the supreme inside of us, in our minds and our hearts, it means we're rooted and grounded in love. When we allow the grace of God to teach us, when we understand Paul's message of grace and our role in the eons, we become rooted and grounded in love. So being rooted and grounded in love should be strong to grasp together with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now notice there's four dimensions here. In the book of Genesis, you'll have to look this up on your own. In Genesis 13, Yahweh tells Abraham to walk through the land of promise, and he gives two dimensions, the length and the breadth, I believe. I'm only going by memory, but there's only two. In the unveiling in chapter 21, there's only three dimensions mentioned when it comes to the New Jerusalem. But here, in our calling isn't the new earth or the earth in the millennium. Our calling isn't the new Jerusalem, which is three dimensions, but our calling is the celestial regions. We are blessed with every blessing that is spiritual among the celestials, and Paul gives it four dimensions here. That's why he tells us we need to be strong to grasp together with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ as well, which transcends knowledge. Think of that. Paul is praying that we might know the love of Christ which transcends knowledge. Now, think about what Paul's saying here. He wants you to know something that transcends knowledge. No wonder Paul says it takes God's Spirit. We need to be staunch with power by his Spirit in the inner man to be able to grasp all this. This is not something we can do in natural ability. And what is the goal of this prayer? That you may be completed. That you may be completed for the entire complement of God. What is the complement of God? Well, God is bringing the universe to a conclusion. And in our role in the universe is to be used by God to bring the celestial regions back to himself. And Israel is going to be used to bring these terrestrial regions back to himself. God is going to complete all of his purposes, all of his plans, and he's going to use us to do that. And so this prayer leads us to understanding our role in God's great purpose of the eons. And so when this prayer is answered, we're completed for the entire complement of God. In other words, we understand our role. We're completed. We're mature. We see what our role is, and we're just rooted and grounded in love, and we see what God has chosen us for, and we want to, in some measure, now, before the next eon, before we're snatched away to begin our real work, we want to, in some measure, know and honor God and live up to that now before it comes to pass in the celestial regions when we get there. And I think that's the goal of Paul's prayer here, that we may be completed for the entire complement of God. And then he concludes, now to him that is able, he's almost looking up, I can imagine, the one who is able, it's God who is able. He has ability to do super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending. Isn't that great? God is able. We may not even know how to pray this properly, and we may not even apprehend it, but God can do super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending according to the power that is operating in us. This word operating is used in chapter 1, that God's power was operative in Christ when he exalted him to the highest place in the universe. It's used of Paul in Ephesians 3:8 regarding the power that's in operation in Paul to bring out his message, and now it's in you and me. The God of the universe is operating in you and me today. It can't be seen, really. It's not to do great miracles, to raise the dead, or speak in tongues. It's to love. It's to grasp our role and to walk worthy of it. And God's almighty power is at work in us, so we can walk quietly through this world. Amazing, isn't that? Just the opposite of human wisdom. Now to him that is able to do it super excessively above all that we are requesting or apprehending, according to the power that is operating in us, to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eons of the eons. Amen. All the generations of the eon of the eons is this. It's referring to the last eon. To the last eon. In Genesis 2 verse 4, we read about the generation of the heavens and of the earth. That was the eon that brought sin into this world. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, read that. Here, the eons, all the generation of the eon is referring to the last eon, the fifth eon. That's the eon that's going to see sin kicked out of God's universe. That's the eon that's going to see sin and death kicked out of God's universe. As that second eon in Genesis 2 verse 4 brought sin and death into the world, this last eon is going to see it go out completely, and the last eon is going to end with the consummation when death is finally abolished. That's good news. And then this whole prayer is Paul is praying that we may have a big picture view of God's purposes in the eons, our role in the last two eons, and when we grasp that, we'll be completed for the entire complement of God. And the key to this verse, again, is once Christ dwells in our hearts through the faith, we've been rooted and grounded in love, which will help us, will give us power to grasp what our role is in that. Well, that's the prayer of Ephesians 3 verses 14 to 21, rooted and grounded in love would be the title of this. And let me just say, I have nowhere near exhausted this prayer. I didn't teach everything in it. I hope it is just enough to get you to look at it again. Pray this prayer. Pray it together with me. Let's all believers pray this prayer so we can find its fulfillment in our lives. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. That's all I have time for today. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as is revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.